Welcome to episode 203 of the Uncorked Gamers. I'm Dan.
And I'm Adam.
And we have a special guest interview today. That is Allie Johnson.
Hello.
All right, so she's done work on multiple titles. She's done work on, the new Lego Incredibles game. Is that right?
Yeah, I played Elastigirl in the new Incredibles Lego game. And then before that, I did some voice work on Watch Dogs 2. And I was also, I played Ava on Walking Dead 3, the mobile game, until I got, they said I didn't die, but I did get pushed off of a cliff while being eaten by 3 zombies. So I could still be alive. I might make a comeback, but it's not super likely.
Yeah, and you were on Five Nights at Freddy's, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that one was okay. More recent. I actually haven't had the chance to play that one yet. Have you played that game? Because I all I know is that I have a small appearance on it, but I haven't had the opportunity to play it.
No, I saw that you're a chicken, though. I've only seen gameplay. I've never played any of the Five Nights at Freddy games.
Yeah, I've watched people play them pretty extensively. Actually, I think that's going to get into the first question I have. How much, when you take a voice acting role, particularly for game stuff like that, how much do you know about the role before you do the voice acting?
Well, it depends on the project, but for things like Watch Dogs and Walking Dead, I did not know basically anything. A lot of times with video game roles, you don't know much until you get into the booth. And then with Watch Dogs, literally, I didn't have a chance to look at the script at all. It was all just cold reading as soon as I got in there. And, you know, they give you some kind of setup and direction and kind of let you know what the scenario is. Oh, you know, okay, somebody shot you, but you're not super injured, or okay, we want you to picture this big building that's over here and it's on fire. And so they're kind of setting you up for the situation so you can imagine it, but you don't have a lot of context about the game or how it works. And I mean, you kind of have to put all of that together yourself. But for the Incredibles Lego game, obviously I knew a lot more about that role and about what happens during the game, because a lot of it was being told through the story of the Incredibles 1 and 2. So I knew the plots to those already, so I had a lot more context for that. But yeah, some video games, especially the in-combat ones, are, you don't get a lot. You kind of have to make it up yourself as you go along.
That's so when you record these, are you going down to a studio? Are you? I saw when you lived in San Francisco or Oakland, I think you had a recording set up in your house, right?
I have a recording setup, yeah, but for most of the jobs that I've booked, I go into a studio just because I can do little jobs and things like that at my home studio. But if you're doing a big scale video game like that, you want to make sure that the audio quality is the same for every actor and every role. So it's important to go into not only a studio, but the same studio and make sure that everything lines up so that it matches in the final game product.
All right. So when you show up to these jobs, do you just show up in whatever you want? Just you just roll out of bed and just go to work?
Yeah. I mean, I'm wearing sweatpants right now. And this is kind of, I think for somebody in radio and voiceover, this is pretty dressed up as it gets. I mean, in general, when you go to a voice job, you don't want to wear anything that's too noisy. You don't want to wear a big parka. I have to leave my parkas at home. And so it's just mainly about wearing clothes that aren't noisy. But yeah, it's pretty nice that I don't have to wear a dress and heels to go to work. That's why I love doing voice stuff.
Well, I thought you normally wore flannel and stuff.
Yeah, no, that too. It's the flannel and the sweatpants, guys. They
the
match
blue
perfectly.
Jeans.
My blue jeans and my flannel and my Converse. I have red Converse, black ones, and maroon high top ones. Those are my fancy going out ones. Those are for special occasions.
Yeah, I remember when you were showing off your closet full of shoes on that video you posted a while back.
Yeah.
How did you get into voice acting anyway? It's kind of it's kind of an odd thing.
Yeah, I mean, I just kind of fell into it through my agent in San Francisco recommended that I just start auditioning for stuff that was voice related because they thought that my voice might be interesting. And I always loved doing character work. That's something that I've always been really passionate about, whether it was comedy or just acting in general. I always was big into doing characters and voices and things like that. So it was something that I really enjoyed and kind of came naturally. So they saw that and they said, hey, why don't we start sending you out for some voiceover stuff? And then, you know, little job here, little job there, you know, commercial stuff. And then I ended up getting a great job working with Pixar, doing some scratch work for the Incredibles 2 film. So once I did that, it led to the video game, and it led to doing some voice stuff for Disneyland parks and then the other video games and things like that. So I mean, it's a tough business to be in. It's definitely very a small pool out there of people who do these video games, especially big scale ones. So it's a tough business to break into, but anytime I get to do it, I just have a blast. It's so much fun.
Actually, yeah, it leads into a question we got from a fan. He was asking, how do you break into voiceover business? So you don't have an agent. You've never done any professional acting before. What any advice you can give him? This is from CT Firestorm.
He's never done any acting before and wants to get into voice stuff. Is that what you said?
Yeah, like he doesn't have any connections or agents or anything like that. He hasn't done anything professionally.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of great online platforms for people who are just starting out. I mean, there are a few ways that you can do it. You can just record stuff at home and try to put a little demo together. But you can start by registering on platforms like Voices123 or Voices.com. It's a yearly fee that you pay in order to be a part of it, but you get auditions from all kinds of big and small clients. You know, someone who's just making a video game out of, you know, his or her house and has a really low budget and just wants to get some voices for a lower price than normally you would get going through the union. So and it's all about having the strongest audition. So it's not necessarily about your credits at that point. So it's a great place for people to start if they're just looking to get into voiceover and see if they, you know, if their voice is something that the clients want to hear, and just kind of go from there. And then also listening to video games or commercials or whatever kind of voice work you want to do. I think that the more you listen to that type of stuff, the more you'll learn about when you do it and then comparing it to what you like to listen to and what you think sounds good and crisp. And so listening to as much voiceover stuff as you possibly can and then getting on one of those platforms would be a great place to start.
So how did you get into gaming? Because I heard that recently you said your wife went out of town, and so, you know, it was great. You got to hang out and just play video games all day.
Yeah, well, I always loved video games, but I was more into, like, Aladdin, you know, Sonic, those kind of older games.
Platformers, okay.
Is that what they're called, platformers?
Yeah.
Okay, I also played Britney Spears' Dance Beat quite often.
So you like rhythm and platform.
Yeah, I was all over the place, and I was definitely a big Mario Kart person. I mean, I always loved doing video games. It was always really random what I played with friends or by myself. But then when I got older, I think I bought my wife a PS4 for her birthday, really thinking, oh, great, now I have a PS4. I knew that we would both get some, use out of that. So since then, I started doing like Call of Duty and Uncharted and The Last of Us. And so those are the games that I play now, and Watch Dogs 2, of course. I didn't play the original, but I play Watch Dogs 2 a lot. And right now we are revisiting Fallout 4 because we bought it and I didn't know what the hell I was doing. Because with some of these games, they don't give me enough direction and I need a little bit of something. Like, I mean, I feel like games 10, 20 years ago, there was a lot of direction on how to, you know, where you needed to go next and what your mission was. And now it's very open, which is, I think some gamers obviously love that. But for me, I really need someone to help me because I'm spatially challenged and I don't know where I am or what I'm doing most of the time. So I really need that extra guidance. So, but I'm trying Fallout 4 again now.
Yeah, Fallout 4, it's difficult. Dan's really good at it. His girlfriend's really good at it. There's too much to do. The world's way too expansive, and like I die like all the time.
Yeah. And then I like can't, as soon as I get somewhere, they're like, you're hungry and you're carrying too much. I'm like, well, fuck, figure it out. Why do I have to micromanage every aspect of this woman's life?
Yeah, it's too realistic. So you said you played The Last of Us, right?
Yeah.
So you learned about Ellie, about how she's going to be in part two?
Yeah. I don't remember all of it because I played it quite a while ago and I was high for most of it. But yeah, I do remember her being a part of the next one. And I thought there was some kind of like a gay storyline with her.
Yeah. And, you know, I was actually surprised that it's actually not that big of a deal. Like people are just kind of like, oh, but then they just got over it because it's such a good game.
Was a bit more of a deal about it when they revealed it in the first DLC for the first Last of Us, the Left Behind DLC. I remember there was a bit of a splash about it, but it did die out pretty quick for that type of thing in the video game world and stuff like that. Usually it lasts like a little bit longer than it did.
Do people get mad about that stuff?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So, like, okay, so...
People get mad about everything.
I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's called Catherine. You're a guy, and you're dating a girl named Catherine, and then a succubus comes along who looks like a normal girl coming to tempt you along.
Dude, spoilers.
No, it's not. Anyway, the newest one they introduced, this is going to be a spoiler, but everybody knows it. There's a new girl they've included in this storyline, but that girl is not a girl. She is transgender.
Uh-huh.
And so that's a new one to the storyline. So people are kind of like, oh, is it going to come to the U.S.? Like, is it going to be censored because of that? And that's like another thing, like Mother 3, like they don't want to bring it over here because it deals with like, again, burly men called the Majipsies that do things to each other when like the lights turn out.
That sounds great. What's the problem?
I don't know. It's a great game. If you've never played Mother 3, you should definitely play it.
I've never heard of that, but if you say that burly men are doing things to each other in the darkness, I will definitely give it a download.
I mean, because that's only one thing, but I mean, they claim it's because it deals with, like, this one kid kills himself and they all praise him. Yeah, so it deals with that and, like, this is a Game Boy game. This is a Game Boy Advance game, and it deals with suicide and, I think, like, domestic violence.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, domestic violence has been in a lot of video games. I was actually at a video game, not a conference, but, like, a panel, and they were talking about that, about, you know, how women, if they are or aren't accepting certain jobs based on the content of the video game. Like, for example, in Grand Theft Auto, there's a lot of domestic violence. There's a lot of violence towards women in general. So I think that they are trying to change video gaming to make it a little bit less, like, rapey.
Yeah. But we are seeing a lot of female protagonists now in games, which they didn't think that the West would take to. Okay, so is there, like, a game or, like, a series you'd like to work on? Or maybe, like, a show?
Oh. Well, being on any kind of animated comedy show, like South Park, Family Guy, American Dad, any of that kind of stuff, Bob's Burgers, that's like a dream. That would be so amazing, especially if I had the opportunity to play a bunch of different characters, just come in every week, do my thing, do, you know, some really funny writing, and that would be incredible. For a game, I'd really love to be one of the badass women in the next Uncharted. That would be really fun.
Okay.
Anything where I get to kill zombies would also be pretty great. or get eaten by zombies is always really fun. So yeah, I guess something like that. And then I would I mean, I would love to do more stuff with Pixar. Just anything that they're doing, I really love, whether it's video games or, you know, an animated feature or anything like that. That would be amazing as well.
Dan, so what was it you had? Didn't you say you had a question regarding the character she played on the Left 4 Dead? Or, I mean, sorry, not Left 4 Dead. The, what's it called? The,
Oh, yeah, yeah, The Walking Dead. The not Walking necessarily Dead. A question about the character, but kind of more over the controversy. I'm sure you heard about, like, Laura Bailey playing Nadine in Uncharted 4 caused a bit of an uproar because she's not an African-American woman. Why is she taking this role away? And I noticed that your character in The Walking Dead is also an African-American woman as well. How do you feel about that controversy and, like, all that stuff?
I don't think she is an African-American woman in Walking Dead 3.
I saw a video clip of New Frontier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They never said what her nationality was to me. When I got in there, all I had was a picture of her, and they didn't say anything about her, background. And to me, I didn't think that she was African American, so I didn't see any kind of an issue with it. If that was the case, then I probably would have a problem with that. I didn't I don't think that she's an African-American character, at least not in any of the script that I saw. There was no mention of that.
Yeah, I thought she was just tanned.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Right. Yeah,
but if that's the case, that sucks, because yeah, I don't want to do that kind of stuff. I don't if I see any voice jobs come up that are, you know, like a Latina female or an African-American female, I'm not going to go out for those roles. I remember I had an agent before who sent me an audition for a role that was they were like a slight Latin accent. And I was like, that's not for me. Like, there are many roles that I can play, and there are many other roles that are written for other people, and why don't we let those people play those roles, because they're way more right for those roles than I would be. So I wouldn't want to portray a character that was of a different ethnic background than my own. I mean, if I'm doing like a European, you know, like French or Italian or something like that, that's okay for me. But if it's somebody of color, I just feel like there are limited opportunities for people of color in the industry already, and I don't want to take that away. Like, they deserve the work for those roles, and that's part of the progress that we need to make in the industry.
So it sounds like you might not even necessarily know too much about the role you're reading in the first place. So Laura Bailey might not have known what character she was playing when she was doing that voice and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, especially for video games, you really don't get a lot of context. For Watch Dogs 2, I never even knew what my characters look like at all. So I'm just voicing the lines. Literally, in most cases for Watch Dogs 2, I didn't even know what the other lines were that were being said. I just had a page of my lines. So I don't even know the context of where my lines are being said, what's being said back to me or anything like that. So I don't really have an opportunity to be like, I object about this, because there, you don't really have a lot of information. So it's very possible that she didn't know. I mean, for a bigger character, I would think that she probably saw some images ahead of time. But again, all that stuff could have been sketches that were not in color or whatever. And she could have, I mean, it's definitely plausible that she could have not been aware.
Yeah.
When she took the job.
That's like Guillermo del Toro. He just came in for Death Stranding for Kojima's game. The guy who made, I'm not sure if you're familiar with like Metal Gear Solid and stuff like that.
New.
So Guillermo del Toro was working on a game with Hideo Kojima, and it got canceled because of a fallout with Konami. So Hideo Kojima decided to just make his own game. So he invited Guillermo del Toro to come do like a session, and then that was read his lines, and then that was it. So like, he doesn't even know like what the game is about. He only allowed him to read like his lines, and that's it.
Yeah, and that's pretty common.
And he's high up there.
Yeah, I mean, I would think if it was somebody like Guillermo del Toro or some, I mean, I think for when big celebrities take on jobs that are voiceover, they probably get a little more pampered and get a little more context than some of us do. But in general, they can't, I mean, for ND, like non-disclosure reasons, they can't, they're trying to give you as little information as possible because they are so freaked out about leaks. So you don't really, they don't really want to give information to all these people and tell them how the whole plot of the video game works. Also, it just takes a long ass time to explain all that because with video games, there's such a long storyline and there's a lot of different possible things that can happen now. There's different storylines based on the choices that you make. And so it's just a lot for them to have to explain the context of everything to every actor.
Yeah, what was that... That Black Mirror movie that came out, they said that the script was like insane.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. I really, really want to check that out because I think that's going to be happening more and more now with the video game world merging with the TV watching world. And I mean, that's such a perfect example of a show that you can just sit back and watch and not interact with at all, or you can interact and choose how you want it to end and where you want the story to go. And I think that's so fascinating. I think we really will find a lot more of that happening in the future. And it's fun. And you're right. When we were doing sessions for Walking Dead, there are many, many different scenarios and there was a lot of different scripts, so I would be reading one scene and working on that scene, and then they'd be like, all right, now that that's done, let's go back, and this is if the player says no, and then it's a totally different scene. So we would have to record, you know, 5 or 6 different versions of one scene just to, you know, and that would just be that one moment. So it, I mean, 1 or 2 scenes could be really 10, 20, or even 30.
What's the longest session you ever had?
Voiceover sessions usually don't last more than 4 hours. That's kind of the typical full work day for a voice actor.
Wow.
Just because, especially if you're doing anything in combat, yelling, call outs, things like that, it's very straining on your voice. So if you're doing it multiple days, you can do multiple, like I think when I was doing Watch Dogs 2, I had 3 sessions in a week that were all 4 hours long that were yelling and calling out and things like that. So that's a lot to do that every single day or even every other day. Having one day to just rest my voice and just have, you know, regular speaking volume was, I needed that because doing those yelling and the call outs and things like that and like battle cries, those can be very exhausting. And I can't imagine somebody doing that for 8 hours and being able to, I mean, even if you do know how to use your instrument, which I do, it's still a lot. It's work, you know? And after 4 hours of doing stuff like that, even when you pace yourself, it can be tiring. So yeah, 4 hours is pretty much the max. And it's hard work.
Now, like when you're doing those scenes, stuff like that, are you expected to, like, you know, if you're shouting, to shout at full volume? How do they want you to act that out?
Yes. Sometimes it's different for, you know, however the director wants to work with it, but usually it's like a 1 to 10 scale. Like, okay, you know, you're going to be calling out, or this person is about 50 meters from you, so, you know, give us like a 6 out of 10 volume or whatever. And then I can give a couple options and they'll say, okay, so can we have, you know, a couple of options at an 8 or a 9? And so then I can give them a couple more options that are a little louder so that they just want a wide range in some of these things so that they know that they have every single extreme depending on how the game gets played. So yeah, I mean, it depends on the director and how they want to run the session. But if there is a couple of lines that are really, really shouted and called out, they'll be like, okay, you know, this is going to be as loud as you can make it, you know, let's retest the volume and make sure the volume's correct. And then it'll be like 1 or 2 takes of that, and then you move on because you know that you can't keep giving 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 takes of shrieking. So you kind of plan the session around those takes.
Speaking of like combat and stuff like that, like how awkward, fun, annoying is it to do those, like, I've seen, like, some voice actors do the takes of, like, the grunts, the damage screams, the death screams, stuff like that. It's, like, one segment. Like, is it, like, is it fun? Is it kind of, like, awkward having to do those noises and stuff like that randomly?
It's both. It's fun and it's super weird and awkward, which makes it kind of awesome. It's usually at the end of a session or at the end of the... even the entire job, when I was doing a bunch of different voices for Watch Dogs 2, all of that stuff was at the in the last session. It was like, okay, now it's going to be 3 hours of grunts and shrieks and, okay, you're on fire, but you're, like, not completely dead. You know, it's just, like, on your arm. So just give us 5 different versions of that. So you have 5 different versions of being like, ah! And so you give several different versions of what that would be like a fire on your arm. So, and then like, okay, you got hit by a car, but you got, or like you got nudged by a car and you're like, ah, versus getting hit by a car is like, ah. So, you know, you have a variety of scenarios that they're giving you, but you generally give like 3 to 5 takes of each one of those so that they have a lot of options. But yeah, it's really fun and weird.
So are you part of, like, a voice actors, like, guild or anything like that?
Well, it's SAG-AFTRA. So SAG is the Screen Actors Guild, and then AFTRA is the American Federation for Television and Radio, and that's where all of the voiceover work that I do goes through that union. So,
okay. Yeah. I was wondering how that works, because, yeah, I knew about SAG, but I wasn't sure how that worked with voice work.
Yeah, it's all through the unions, and... I know that they just renegotiated some better interactive game agreements for union members, because a lot of voice work, you get the big money comes from commercials and things like that. But for interactive gaming, it's still, I mean, comparatively low. So they're trying to renegotiate. I think they just did some renegotiating. I think some of the union members were on strike trying to ensure fairer rates for people who are doing these jobs, because they are very exhausting. A commercial, you can walk in and literally do 15 minutes of work and get paid just as much and get royalties. And for video games, it's not really super... I mean, you get like a good day rate, but then that's over and the game's over and you're on to the next job. So I think that's something that they've been working on to try and get people, you know, more fairly compensated for these jobs, because they're tough.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's actually a big movement that's currently happening in the video game industry. I mean, it's art. They're creating it. You know, it's just like a movie or, it could be like a successful show, like the installments with the Walking Dead. So, yeah, they're actually asking for... you know, a lot more benefits or money and stuff like that for these game developers.
Yeah, no, it's true. And it is just like doing a feature film, if not more. I mean, it takes years to create these games. They're extremely detailed. There's a lot that goes into it. They're not just the voice actors, but people that are doing the motion capture and all of that. I mean, it's a really, really involved process, and it takes a lot of people to make it work. So I mean, everybody across the board should be getting compensated for that, especially because these games are making a crap load of money. So the people that are making it should be, you know, given what they're owed.
I agree. Just before we were cut off, you said that you were into rhythm and platforming games.
Did I? What does that mean?
Oh, you said you're into like Britney Spears and like
The
Sonics
played...
and whatnot.
Yes, I played Sonic and I played Britney Spears Dance Beat, and I also was really into SSX Tricky.
Oh, nice.
I was really, really good at that one. And which other ones did I play? I played The Lion King, I played Aladdin, Mario Kart I was pretty good at.
Did you ever play any games that you did voices for, or is that, like, too weird to do?
No, it's not weird. I still play Watch Dogs 2, and I will get arrested by my own self, or killed by my own self, or sometimes I will, you know, shoot myself and then run away from myself. So it's kind of funny, especially if I'm being chased and I'm going, pull over! over, pull over now. And I'm like, no, bitch.
So, all right. So you're a girl in the gaming community. You said that you play online, right? Like you play at Call of Duty and stuff.
Yeah, I'm not like amazing, but yeah, I like to play the, what do you call them?
How bad is it for you? Like, because I mean, there's like, you know, 8-year-olds calling people like the N-word. Like, they're like, if there's a girl.
Oh, I turn all that off. Yeah, I don't.
They're like, oh, there's a girl in here. It's like, calm down. You guys have never like spoken.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that world I think the headset thing is something that I could never do because I think that I would get way too bothered by what the people are saying, and I just want to be in my own space in my living room just playing, and I'm sure I'm making all kinds of mistakes and I'm sure people are talking shit about me, but I really don't care. I don't want to involve myself in that part of it, but I can tell all the 7-year-olds because they're the ones that are killing me consistently. So they're really, really good.
So are you playing Blackout right now?
No, I think I did start. I think I played once or twice. You're talking about Call of Duty,
yeah.
World War II, right?
No. It's just Black. I think it's just called. Oh yeah, I think it is, right? I don't know. I forget.
I think that because I've been playing Call of Duty World War II, and that one had some kind of a new blackout feature that I think I played a couple of them, and it's insane. I mean, you just as soon as I come back to life, I just run into an area and I'm dead again. So I was like, nah, I don't know if I like this.
Oh, so you don't play any battle royale games?
No, I just like it. I like there's a balance for me that if it's too crazy and if there's too much explosion and things like that, I just get too overwhelmed and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. Everyone's just blowing everybody up. I want to have some kind of strategy involved. I want to be able to hide somewhere and, you know, prey on somebody kind of a thing. You know, I want there to be a little more thought involved rather than just running up to people and shooting them in the face.
Nice. Dan, do you have any more questions for her?
Yeah, I have one question. Because you did Rockstar Chica in the latest Five Nights at Freddy's, which is an already established character, and I believe you didn't do that character in any of the previous installments. So, is that right?
Yeah. I honestly don't know too much about that game. I saw that they were casting for it and I auditioned and I ended up booking it. And I did, that was one that I did do just out of my home studio. Okay. And so I didn't really know any of the history of the Five Nights at Freddy series. And yeah, I didn't even know that was a character that had already been portrayed until you just told me that now.
Yeah, that was my question. So, cool. Whether or not they sent you like any, like, Here's a character in the different games and different incarnations of the character.
Nope.
Or anything like that.
Nope. It's just, here are the lines you're saying, and then I say them.
That's so interesting. It also helps explain a lot of those like really awkward like reads that you hear in games, stuff like that, where it sounds like they're not talking to anybody and just like reading lines. And like, it makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, sometimes you can tell, and there are some times where I'm like, why can't they just give us a little more context? Just give us, or like one rehearsal. If we're all doing a scene together, why wouldn't we all read it together and things like that? I don't know if that's going to change in the future. I think that the weird distorted line readings are kind of accepted now and kind of fun, and I think it's actually the most effective way for them to get what they need, so maybe it won't change anytime soon. But I mean, the more that video games kind of seem like films, maybe it will be something that has more of a, that's more directed, more rehearsed, and you know, the characters actually, and you know, the actors actually have time to connect to their roles a little bit more. That would be nice.
Yeah, I have noticed that, like, I know sometimes Disney will do like thing where the actor will watch the scene that he's reading the lines for. Or I've heard some voice actors mention that they've got to do scenes with some of the other characters that they were working with and kind of help bring the level of the acting up, and they really enjoyed it. So hopefully that means that more and more that's going to be happening.
Yeah, when I was doing Scratch at Pixar, I was never in a scene with another person, but I did have all of my sessions with the director, Brad Bird, and he would read scenes with me just as the other characters, and that really, really helps because you have somebody to react off of, even if it's not the person who's actually going to be in the film. Having anything to bounce off of, it really helps the flow of the scene. It makes it all way more natural, and it's always a huge help to any actor who's you know, in a voiceover session. oh, I mean, the more context and the more setup you get and the more realistic you can make it for yourself, the more specific it'll be and the better the performance will be.
And I got one more question. Like, when you're doing a game that have you go into a studio for, or any gig that has you go into a studio, is that something that they cover? Do you have to, like, find your own studio? Or do they have one already set up? Do you have to, like, go travel?
Yeah, they have it all set up, usually. If I end up getting a job, they'll be like, okay, you know, here are the potential dates that we're going to do it. They check my availability for those dates. And then, you know, once they book the sessions, they just tell me where they are. And sometimes it's the same studio. Sometimes it's a totally different studio. They'll be like, oh, today we're at this studio. Tomorrow we'll be at this other lot or whatever. So I don't know. I think the engineers and the client, they all deal with that. So I just show up.
And do they cater to your area, or do you have to, like, sometimes, like, take a plane to LA or something like that?
No, I've never had to get, if there's actual travel involved, beyond just driving, then that's something that's usually discussed before booking. Because, like, for example, when I was doing the Legos Incredible video game, I moved during that time. So the first half of my sessions I did in San Francisco, and I just let them know, oh, by the way, I'm going to be moving to LA. And that actually made it easier for them because the director lived in LA. He was based in LA. So I did the first half of my sessions in San Francisco. And for the second half, they found studios in LA. So it doesn't really make a difference to them, because I think studio sessions are pretty standard no matter where you're at. And there's a lot of great studios in San Francisco and LA and all kinds of places. So I think sometimes it'll make it easier if, you know, the director or the, you know, is in the area that you are recording in. But in general, what's great about audio is that you can do it anywhere. So I don't think that it matters so much where you're at.
And when the project's done, do they offer you, like, a copy of the game or something like that so you can kind of...
Nope.
Damn.
Nope.
Wow.
I had to purchase Watch Dogs 2. I purchased The Incredibles Lego video game. I purchased Walking... Actually, I think they gave me a code for Walking Dead 3 so that I could download it on my phone. Yeah, that's the only one I've never paid for.
Jesus. You gotta be Norman Reedus to get a copy?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they're not... I mean, once they get what they need, they're busy making the video game. So, you know... And every time I've done a job, I've been going through my agent, so I would have to go through so many different people to be like, hey, can I have a copy? I mean, maybe there are people that are aggressive about it and they get copies. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a dummy. But I've never been offered the video game when it's done or anything like that.
So you've never been to, like, one of those parties where they handed all that free swag?
No.
Oh.
That sounds nice.
Yeah, that's what I thought you got to do.
Hey, I thought of an idea. You know how everyone has their, like, Twitch accounts and everyone watches them stream video games and people make a lot of money?
Yes.
I want to... Do you think that anyone would be interested in me and my wife doing, like, playing video games together, even though we're not very good, and just bickering about how to play video games?
Which game?
It would be, like... something, well, I don't know, just a new game. I don't know where we would start, but it would be the idea would be that her and I are both not great. It's not like we're experts or anything, but we do have interesting banter while we're playing video games, especially when weed is involved. And I was thinking, you know, two lesbians playing video games together, that seems like something other people would watch, even if we aren't good.
Yeah, well, I mean... It might be. I mean, and plus, if you're, especially if you're going to do it from the PS4, there's so little work you have to do streaming.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it has that feature on there already.
I would say the only thing is just, you know, be mentally prepared for all the people popping in chat just to, like, ask you to kiss your girlfriend, or, you know, saying, like, why can't you be good at this game? All that negativity that's probably going to pop in.
Yeah,
to be fair. Yeah, I think I have experience dealing with negativity. I don't think that's going to be an issue for me.
But yeah, I mean, I think that would separate you from all the other girls that are on Twitch that are like, hey, subscribe to my private snaps, donate to my Patreon. Here's my Amazon wish list. Girls.
Yeah, no, there are literally ex porn stars that have popped up on Twitch to try to like,
or
get
you
people
know,
to give him money.
Yeah,
it's
or
another thing.
There's another guy. He's from Oakland, Collie Muscle. He got banned from Twitch because he claims to be the buffest gamer in the industry, and he only plays with his shirt off. And he got somebody to donate like $500 to him while he was playing Fortnite.
See, yeah, that's the thing. You gotta get a gimmick, and his gimmick is shirtless gaming,
yeah,
which is a very simple thing, but he's getting money based on that. And yeah, do these porn stars that are doing these Twitch, like, are they good, or do they suck?
From what I've seen, half the time they don't even play the game. Like, somebody donates money and they do, like, jumping jacks. I saw, like, a clip on YouTube, and it was, like, a jumping jack for every dollar you donate. So, like, half the clip was just like her doing jumping jacks, not even playing the game.
Oh, okay. So this is just softcore porn.
It's just
basically.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then if you're going for another angle, it's just about like the energy you're putting out there. Like, I don't know, like Collie Muscle, he talks shit to the people in his chat, and then they're like, why do you talk to me like that? Like, I'm donating money. And then he'll be like,
well,
yeah.
People like abuse.
Yeah, no, they do. And I mean, he teaches you how to make you know, prison meals, how to make, you know, prison pre-workout using soda and instant coffee, things like that on YouTube when he's not gaming.
Yeah, I mean, I think as long as you keep the gaming actually the focus of the thing, you'll get the goodwill of the Twitch community as a whole.
Hmm. All right. Well, maybe I'll give it a try. Maybe I'll start with something simple and we'll play Britney Spears dance beat.
There you go. Hey,
or Destroy All Humans. That's another one that I enjoy.
Would you want to stick with us for the rest of the show while we cover this week's topics? Or you could leave if you want. It's up to you.
I would like to stick around, but I have to go to a movie screening.
Oh, wow.
Nice. Yeah. Well, it's not like a movie that I was in. It's a movie that this girl that we're casting in my pilot is debuting her project at Outfest Fusion, so I'm going to see her film.
All right.
And so I wish I could stick around, but I have to start getting ready. I'm still in my pajamas.
All right. Hey, so go ahead and plug anything coming up. Go ahead and plug your show that you don't have a name for. For you that don't know, for you Jamokes out there, this is Allie. She used to be on Kevin Kline Live 105. It's no longer around, unfortunately, because I don't know. They had too many people complaining.
Yeah, well, the station flipped.
Oh, that's right.
So that was something that was not really in our control. Everybody, the entire on-air staff they just completely went in a different direction. And it was obviously surprising and it was hard, but Kevin and I are back on Channel Q, which is an LGBTQ+ station. So Kevin Kline is our token straight man. I am a lesbian lady, and we're just shooting the shit. It's really fun. We do it from 12 to 2 p.m. Pacific time every weekday. And, I mean, we are in terrestrial radio in Palm Springs and Seattle, but we have HD2 stations all over the country and growing fast. And an announcement pretty soon about another market that I think people will be happy about. So it's growing quickly, and if anyone wants to give it a listen, at We Are Channel Q is on Twitter and Instagram and everything like that. And we also have a podcast, but yes, it has no name right now because the name that we chose, now there was like some weird Trump supporter crazy guy who has a segment that he runs out of the Washington Examiner that is the same name. So he went after us for intellectual property, blah, blah, blah. And we have to find a new name. So there's actually a Twitter poll going up right now of some of the finalists for the new name of our show. And my personal favorite so far is Drop the Subject.
Yeah, that was me.
That was you?
That was me.
Dude, we really like that name. It's so perfect.
Yeah. Does Patrick know about it?
No, and I don't plan to tell him.
Oh, all right. Well, if you guys come up with that, cool. That'd be tight. If you guys want, please download the podcast. What is it titled, because you don't have a name yet? Is it still No Things Considered?
I think the podcast you can still find under No Things Considered right now, and if that doesn't work, the Kevin and Allie Show might be what, I don't know, they were going to temporarily name it that so that people could find it. And then we're still at NTC Show on Twitter. So yeah, you can find us there.
Yes.
And then I'm also still in production for Butch Pal for the Straight Gal, which is my pilot that I'm working on. I'm creating the first all-female queer eye. It's actually a comedy, a reality-style comedy based on the what the female version would look like. So it's not just a straight reality show. It's like a scripted mockumentary-style comedy. And we just are casting for that now and probably will go into production sometime in the fall.
Are you still doing stand-up?
I'm doing some, yeah. I haven't done a ton since the new year started just because I've been really busy with a bunch of other things. But I'm going to get back out there. It's just something that, of course, the more I put into it, the more I will get out of it. And I just haven't had the time to work on new material and things like that. But yeah, I got to get back out there. I was doing it, you know, every week for a while. And stand-up is not something I'm super, super passionate about. I really enjoy it. And I think that as a woman in comedy, I got to do stand-up. It's definitely something that has to be a part of my world. But it's not something that I'm like, oh, God, this is going to be the path for me. And it's really hard path to take. I mean, you are doing performances for free all the time. You're not even doing it for free. You're also having to promote it yourself and bring in your own people. And it's a very thankless job for a long time. It takes, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are doing it. So it's something that I really enjoy, but it's not something that I'm going to be like,
yeah, so,
I'm the next whatever.
Yeah. Something I've noticed that is, to be a successful comedian now, you need to create your own podcast and then, do a tour of other podcasts. So then you get those people subbing for you. Like, I'm not sure if you've heard of her, Marcella Arguello.
No.
She's from Modesto, but she has a special out, and I think she opened for like Felipe Esparza like a bunch, and her comedy album's doing pretty good because she's starting to make the rounds of podcasts.
Yeah, I mean that's definitely it's all about cross promoting and getting yourself into as many ear holes as possible. And I mean just collaborating with other people in the comedy world, and whether it's podcasting or sketch or stand-up or whatever, you know, and performing at different places and not just the same place all the time, it's then you can slowly build an audience. And it's been great, you know, still interacting with the audience that we had up in San Francisco, and then also talking to new people that are listening to our show, or you know, that know me from video game stuff, or you know, as a writer, comedy, aficionado. I mean, it's tapping into different markets to create like a collective audience.
Yeah. So if you guys listen, you guys can listen on the Channel Q app, right?
The radio.com app.
Radio.com, and Allie is on there with Kevin Monday through Friday, and then she does Bi Fridays. Kevin is not there that day. Yeah, so it's a different show. It's a different take on the show. Trust me, you should definitely listen to this. Probably listen with headphones on, because you might get in trouble listening to this at your cubicle.
Yes. Yeah, there are things that are, I wouldn't say not safe for work, but maybe not recommended for work.
They can
also maybe not recommended while you're eating.
It's okay. That stuff doesn't bother me.
Well, good. You're a good man.
All right. Is that all you want to plug?
Yeah. Thank you, guys. I really had a blast.
Thank you. Thank you for the time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Anytime you want to come back on, just go ahead and hit us up.
Yeah, no problem. Adam and Dan, thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime.
Drop the subject. It's going
to
happen.
Drop the subject.
Drop. Bye, guys.
All right, peace.
Bye.
All right, Dan. So we got to get into this Pokemon business.
Pokemon Sword and Shield. Here we go.
All right. So these are some pretty weak starters I'm seeing here.
Why do you say that?
I mean, dude, like, just, I mean, there's... I'm looking at them right now, like... All right, so we got Grookey, which, you know, I've never been into that, like the leaf one.
but I was always a water guy.
This one's the Grookey the monkey.
Yes,
I don't have their names memorized, dude. Come on.
So okay, all right. So Grookey is the monkey. He's the green one. He's the leaf. The middle one, so lame, dude. This one better have a dope transformation. Score bunny.
Oh yeah, it's just a little Sonic Tails ripoff type rabbit, dude.
Dude, it is straight like a ripoff, like of like those bunnies that you free at the end of a level. And then we have Sobble, which I want to go with it because originally when I played, I mean, I chose, you know, Squirtle, and then he turned into badass Blastoids. I mean, all three of them had, like, dope, like, transformations, and, like, they were pretty dope, like, from the start. These ones are kind of weak at the start.
I mean, it's definitely a different take, right? Because they're kind of doing more cutesy, it looks like, in their animal, like, depictions and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm going to pick it up, okay? As long as there's no inanimate object Pokemon, like keys, an earring.
You won't know until you play the game, man. So you've already picked it up, and they got your money.
Yeah, you know what? Man, I think I'm going to get a Switch.
Oh, it's finally happening, huh?
I haven't got it yet, but
you're done waiting?
Just with all the games that are coming out for it, like... It's a system that's worth it.
You're not going to wait to see if there's a
No, yeah, of course I am.
Okay.
So yeah.
What's your deadline if you don't hear of a second revision?
No, it's gonna happen. We should hear something by the half of this year at least.
Okay. So all right, Pokemon Sword and Shield. That's a weird like adjective. You know, it's been like X and Y, Diamond, Emerald. You know, blue, green, whatever. Sword and Shield, huh? Those, like, little wolf icons.
Yeah, I thought the icons were lame, too. But it's the first ever console-based Pokemon game.
It's true. It really is the first. It seems like they're keeping the formula relatively the same, you know, sneaking around the grass to do fights with Pokemons, actual fights with Pokemons. Unlike the I Choose You one, where it's kind of you just threw a Pokeball at them. Trainer fights and stuff like that. I know I've seen a lot of people kind of complain that the region looks very linear.
Yeah, it does.
So I'm kind of interested to see how that plays out. I'm interested to see how it goes. I think people are kind of excited, but people are also kind of like... I think with a lot of Switch games, a lot of these handheld games that are coming over to Switch... They're kind of seeing things like, oh, like, this doesn't feel like the big jump I was expecting, or, like, it feels like you guys are still getting used to this, or you're kind of making it smaller than you would on the handheld.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. People are going to complain either way, like me. But it's just petty bullshit. Either way, I'm going to play it. I mean, it's finally a console-based Pokemon game. I mean... We never got one on the GameCube. We never got one on the Wii. We never got one on the Wii U.
Not a full-blown one. We did get, like, Pokemon Snap and Pokemon Battle Arena and stuff like that.
But an actual full-based RPG game.
Yeah, I mean, like, what are you hoping to get out of it, man? What are you hoping is different or the same?
I'm hoping to recapture those memories of frustration, you know, grinding. You know, going into a cave, getting pissed off, trying to find the end of the cave. You know, like training, like, you know, leveling up, evolving your Pokemon, building up, you know, your little Poke Squad, and then going to gyms. I'm wondering, too, if they're going to allow you to, like, battle, since it's going to have online capability, if you can, like, battle, like, your friends or other people.
Yeah, that'd be... I mean, they've been doing that with the handheld one, so I would hope that they would keep that.
Yeah, this is on, like, you know, on a bigger scale. Like, this could, I mean, I think it would be pretty cool to see that.
Yeah, especially if you could do it, like, if you're just, like, walking, like, if you're waiting in line and somebody in front of you has Pokemon, and you're like, hey, let's battle right here, right now.
Yeah. And then I think the way that, I think they want to, like, incorporate some sort of, like, motion control with, like, the... With the what are they called on the Joy-Cons?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could pet your Pokemon.
Yeah, exactly. Not there. No, I'm just kidding. So what's up with the Microsoft employee setup over HoloLens military something?
All right. So it's a bit of an upset. So let me pull up the actual article because there's some quotes and stuff like that. Basically, the employees, Microsoft took out a military contract to use the HoloLens in military applications. And so a lot of the employees are upset. Let me see. This is from the Microsoft Workers for Goods, what their group's calling themselves. They posted out a tweet saying, "On behalf of workers at Microsoft, we're releasing an open letter to Brad Smith and Satya Nadella, if I pronounced that right, demanding for the cancellation of the IVAS contract with a call for stricter ethical guidelines." And, you know, if you're a Microsoft employee, you can sign in. They have a link where you can sign in and, like, you know, put your protests and stuff like that. And then they went on to say, "We are alarmed that Microsoft is working to provide weapons technology to the U.S. military, helping one country's government increase lethality using tools we built. We did not sign up to develop weapons, and we demand a say in how our work is used. The application of HoloLens within the integrated visual augmented system is designed to help kill people. It will be deployed on the battlefield and works by turning warfare into a simulated video game, further distancing soldiers from the grim stakes of war and the reality of bloodshed. Intent to harm is unacceptable use of our technology."
Whoa.
Right, so it's kind of, you know, HoloLens is the augmented reality thing, right? You know, glasses you put on, you can see, like, whatever the program wants to put on there, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So they're saying it's basically going to be used to kind of make it seem more like a game for soldiers and stuff like that. Which is, I could see both the negatives and the positives. Obviously, making anything seem more like a game, making killing people seem like a game in real life is, like, not great. But I wonder if that also is going to help the PTSD of some soldiers, if, you know, creating that distance.
Yeah, because I know that Microsoft is, like, one of, like, the few, like, major companies that's going after, whatchamacallit, what the hell, why can't I think of it? Going after, instead of, like, going, like, everyone's going, like, VR, like, oh, that's the next thing. They're going AR.
Yeah.
That's all I really know about it. I've only seen and then like a little trailer, but that's crazy, man.
Yeah, Microsoft did release a statement in response to it. Read that real quick. "We gave this issue careful consideration and outlined our perspective in an October 2018 blog. We always appreciate feedback from employees and provide many avenues for their voices to be heard. In fact, we heard from many employees throughout the fall. As we said then, we're committed to providing our technology to the U.S. Department of Defense, which includes the U.S. Army, under this contract. As we've also said, we'll remain engaged as an active corporate citizen in addressing the important ethical and public policies issues relating to AI and the military." So basically said, like, yeah, that's cool, guys. We're still going to do it, though. This is a lot of money. Essentially, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of it's interesting because we don't know exactly how they're going to be using it in the military.
Yeah. So I've been seeing a lot of PlayStation's been like releasing a lot of trailers for a lot of games, like just low key on YouTube. Do you follow Sony PlayStation on there?
No, I check them out every once in a while when I hear of a big game trailer dropping. That's about it. Same thing with Nintendo.
All right, so there's this one game that caught my interest. It's called Death Coming. So it's like this like little like, it looks like all like a cutesy like 8-bit type game, right? And there's like angels and they're like looking in certain directions. And in this game, you take control of like death. So it's like that movie. What's the movie where death is coming for them after they cheat it?
Oh, Final Destination. Oh,
okay, yeah. So you're causing like little accidents, like moving things here or there, like turning like you'll turn like a street light from like red to like green when they're crossing the street.
Okay, so a little bit of a strategy game.
Yeah, and I think you're trying to like see how many people you can off before getting caught as death.
So wait, you can get caught?
Yeah, yeah, you have to try and not be caught, like, doing, like, the acts that you're trying to do, like, putting, like, a puddle here, so that way that guy steps there, and then he stops, and then when he stops, like, something falls from high up, because you set up, like, some little mousetrap type thing. You know, you play, like, you're like a more sadistic Kevin McAllister in a bigger playground.
All right. That sounds pretty fun, though.
Yeah.
Not
too much happened this weekend. I know that
Division 2 beta is open.
Yeah.
I did play a couple hours of it. Unfortunately, I had a pretty busy weekend this weekend, so I haven't gotten to play too much of it. I'll probably play a little bit more after this recording, but I've been enjoying it. It's just, I didn't really enjoy the first one's beta. I felt like the game was a little too stiff and stuff like that. This one's more fluid. A little bit less, like, seeing numbers tick off and stuff like that. I mean, it's similar to the first game, but for some reason, I feel like it's tighter. It's a tighter experience. I don't know. I've been enjoying it more.
Yeah, sorry. I would have jumped on with you, and I saw your message, but I was sick Thursday, and I have every other Friday off, so I had 2 days after I dropped my son off of solid gaming. I had to try to beat Nier before Left Alive gets here on, I think, Tuesday or Wednesday.
All right. I heard that game got banned from streams. Like, Japanese streamers are not allowed to...
Dude,
streaming at all.
People, I think because it showed when my stuff got shipped, and I was like, holy shit, I could actually get this thing like way earlier than it says. And so I tried looking to see like if anybody, I know people have gotten theirs, but I think when they post it, it gets taken down way too fast.
Yeah, a lot of people are like saying like, oh, this is just a way for Square Enix to like shut down bad reviews of the game. It's already on sale in Japan. It's been out for like, you know, 4 days in Japan. It's already on sale. 33% off.
No way.
Yeah. Even though Famitsu apparently gave it a pretty like a 70% or something, like 70-80%.
I mean, I know what I'm expecting. It's not gonna be. It's gonna be a more linear type game, which is fine. Like, it's just gonna be like how, you know, when you played like Metal Gear back in the day, like Sons of Liberty, like it was just, you know, go from here to here, like be stealthy. But now you have to go here. Now you just go to the right, follow that path. Like, that's fine. Like, that's what game it's going to be.
Yeah, that's true. I'm actually pretty interested to see your impressions of it when the game finally comes out. Because, like, it is kind of true. Like, when I was listening to the guy talk about it, it's like, they really haven't done anything to advertise the game at all.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It has been really quiet. And, like, yeah, like I said, I've been checking YouTube to see if there's anything new posted. Not unless it's coming from their account or an approved, like, sponsor's account.
Yeah. Moving on, I think Activision and EA, apparently they are some of the most overpaid CEOs in the business. So there's a report from a group called As You Sow, which kind of takes the 100 most overpaid CEOs of a year and kind of puts them on the internet so people can see, like, these people, how much money they make and stuff like that. Now, obviously, Activision and EA are kind of some more important ones because, you know, they're the studios that tend to lay off people the most or shut down studios. Recently, Activision with the 800 people getting laid off and stuff like that. But let's look at how much they make, shall we?
All right.
Let's see here. So Activision's Bobby Kotick is the most overpaid CEO in the history of gaming industry in the U.S., his salary is $28 million. 306 times more than the average salary of an employee at Activision.
Wow.
According to the site, he's overpaid by $12 million. EA, Andrew Wilson, comes in at $35 million. He's 371 times more salary than the average EA employee. And they say he's being overpaid by about $19 million. That is a lot of money for these companies that are like, oh, yeah, no, we had to shut down. We had to lay off people because our sales aren't doing good and stuff like that. It's like, take a pay cut, dude. You could pay all these people right now if you just took a pay cut. How do you feel about that, man?
Yeah, they should definitely take a pay cut. They're not crafting these games. They're not, like, you know, one of these, like, employees who's, you know, one of many to the credits that you barely see on the screen after ending the game. Like, come on, man. Like, those guys need to get fed, too.
Yeah. I mean, it'll be interesting. I also have the free games for March, if you want to go over those real quick.
Oh, yeah. Those are... Wow. This will be done in, like, 2 seconds.
So for Twitch, we have Star Vikings Forever, The King's Bird, which I think has kind of gotten some interest and stuff like that, Kabounce, and Snake Pass. Some mostly games I've never heard of. For Xbox, for the entire month of March, we have Adventure Time Pirates of the Enchiridion. I don't know how you pronounce that. From March 16th through April 15th, you have Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare 2. And from March 1st through the 15th, you have Star Wars Republic Commando. And from the 16th through the 31st, you have Metal Gear Rising Revengeance. I wish they would stop doing these tier things. I hate having to announce all the dates for every single game. And then for PlayStation... And this is where it's interesting, because this is the first month without PS3 and Vita games being included. So people are kind of curious, like, oh, are we going to get more games? Like, what does it mean? We have 2 games. We have Call of Duty Modern Warfare Remastered and The Witness.
Yay.
little slow clap. So a lot of people are kind of happy. They're like, hey... You know, like, we're getting better quality games now and stuff like that. And other people are like, eh, just two games?
they're not, they're... If you think, I mean, come on, dude, like, that's nothing to celebrate over. I mean, not everybody's into that game. Like, you gotta give, you know, maybe an action RPG, and then, I don't know, some sort of, like, maybe, like, a platformer or something like that, or, like... Maybe, like, an action RPG and, like, I don't know, some sort of, like, indie game that did, like, really well.
Yeah, I think that's the key, is giving out maybe some more indie games and stuff like that. I feel like the 2 games is a little bit underwhelming. Especially these games aren't, they're not, like, new games. They've been out for, like, a couple years now.
Yeah, and why am I going to stop playing Blackout to play that game? I don't care.
Yeah. So real quick, I think it's almost time for us to wrap up. Why don't you tell us about Nier Automata? You finally got it. I've watched you play it.
You did not watch me play it.
No, I didn't see you. I saw that you were playing it.
Yeah, see, liar. Yeah, no, so I played it. I beat it already. Got the first ending.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, so now, you know, you play... I mean, so in the game, you play as the female protagonist, Tubi. She's part of a squad known as the Yorha, and, yeah, it does deal with, homosexuality, because there's a girl who has, like, a crush on another girl in the game. I'm surprised that wasn't even, like, a big deal to a lot of people, because it seems like people just get all upset over dumb shit all the time. But, yeah, so, that was in there, it's like, whatever to me, don't really care. And then, it's cool because... So in the game, the reason why Yoko Taro wanted to make the game originally was because he wanted to make a shoot 'em up game, but Square Enix said no. So he had to find a way to make a game but incorporate the aspects of a shooter he wanted. So when you're in the shooter, it takes 2 forms. So when you're in the flight simulating mech, you're either in mech form or you're in like a jet style mode.
Right.
And you do use that, you do play as that, but since I've been playing as the other protagonist in the my second playthrough in the game, 9S, you're doing a lot more of the shooting and stuff like that. So when you go into hacking, it goes into like this little 8-bit mode, and it turns into a shooter again. So if you're really into like shoot 'em ups and like you like that part of the game, yeah, you don't get a ton of it. You get a good amount as the first run through. But the second run through, you get way more of it. So I would say just stick with it. if you're really into like those like shoot 'em up style games.
I mean, was the game worth your $40? Did you get what you wanted out of it?
I mean, yeah, it's worth. I mean, it's $40. It includes the DLC. Even if you were to add the DLC, you know, it'd be like, I think like it would equal $50. But I mean, it's a game you could still pay $60 for, but you'll just pay $40 for the newer version, which includes everything. Yeah, it's worth it. I would say definitely pick it up. $40. You can't go wrong.
All right. Is there anything else we need to talk about? Should we go into the question of the week?
No, I don't have any, it was pretty dry this week. I don't have any other topics.
Yeah, I'm actually glad you got the interview with all the news that came out this week. I mean, the biggest thing was the Pokemon one. Even that was like a pretty short little video. It was interesting they got its own video for such, like, the amount of information they had to show for it.
And then they just said more coming too.
Yeah. All right, so the question of the week was, what canceled game would you like to see revived? We got a couple responses over on the Facebook. We got a Billion from the Future Flicks podcast writing to say, Shenmue 3. Wait, I'll have to think about this one. He never got back to us on any other thing. Because Shenmue 3 obviously was canceled, is now finally coming out. And then we got a Will Strongbomb writing in to say, Jazz Jackrabbit 3. This is an old platformer from the computer days. Kind of like Sonic with a gun.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. And last time I checked, yeah, nothing on the Twitter. So you have a game in mind then?
Yeah. It would be Mega Man Legends.
Number 3, huh?
Yeah, you're number 3. You're
hoping for that announcement.
Yeah, because I feel like they could do it, man. Like, I feel like they could definitely bring it back. And, like, it would look good. Like, they could make it, like, updated, but it would look good.
Yeah. I got two choices. Just pop over them real quick. Obviously, the first one is if the original team was involved. I'd be interested if it's, like, they just revived it with some other team, and I probably wouldn't care. And that's Silent Hills, the Kojima one.
Oh, PT?
Yeah, PT.
Wishful thoughts.
Yeah, I would love to see what that game was going to be and stuff like that. The other one, that's probably one that I would play, because I probably would never play Silent Hills. I'd just watch people play it online. But the one I would play that I'd be interested to see what it would have been was Fez 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that guy's done. Yeah, he said there's no way that's going to happen.
Yeah, but he was the only one working on those games, right? So if the rest of the team, I could, like, and put it together or something like that, and he'd be like, all right, fine, I don't care, ship it out, whatever. I'd still be interested to see what it was.
Yeah. All right, Dan, I think that's going to do it for this week's episode.
All right, let's get that new question of the week. Here we go. Since we had a voice actor on today's episode, let's ask, who is your favorite character voice? Or who has your favorite voice in gaming?
It's me, Snake.
Yeah, you can give us the actor, or just the character that you really enjoy and stuff like that.
Hey, Otacon.
What's the matter, Snake?
Snake? Snake? Snake!
Yeah, somebody had to sit in the booth and have to do that. All right, thanks everybody for listening. Don't forget to follow Allie and all her podcasts and film and gaming reviews. There'll be links on to where to find all that stuff in the description of the podcast. And also, don't forget to join us next week. We'll be talking about more things gaming. And if you want to be interviewed by the Uncore Gamers, go ahead and hit us up at theuncoregamers@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on, find out when new episodes are coming out, you can follow us on Twitter at Uncore Gamers or on the Uncore Gamers Facebook page.
That's right, fools.
And don't forget to share us with your friends. Give us those 5-star reviews, those likes, those loves, those hugs, whatever they are on your podcast channel of choice. Help us get some exposure, people, because we want to do some cool stuff.
Till next time, jabronis.